Blog Talk Radio.
Today on August 11th, a Chief Justice of the United States and also a presidential candidate ran against Woodrow Wilson. That was his first name, Thomas Woodrow Wilson. Charles Evan Hughes was born today in 1867. He was famous for his whiskers. And then if you've ever used an Olivetti typewriter, Adriano Olivetti was born today. Quentin Reynolds, the great, he's a very good journalist and author. Ethel Skakel Kennedy was born today. It's Ethel Kennedy. Came from, I think she was part Native American. She was born in Chicago in 1928. This is a strange name. In 1930, a Japanese composer, Kazuko Fukushima. I wonder if the Fukushima nuclear plant or that area was named after him. We'll have to research that further. If you remember, the tap dancer in Cabaret, Joel Grey, was born today. And then Michael Deaver, who worked in the Reagan White House. He's listed as an influence peddler and was caught up in the SNL scandal of the 1980s. Among the deaths today were Richard Harding Davis, famous journalist, Augusta Victoria. She was the oldest daughter of Queen Victoria, and she was the mother of Kaiser Wilhelm II. We had the guy who started Barnum and Bailey Circus, born today. Famous actress, Mexican ethnicity, Dolores Del Rio. Erskine Caldwell, who wrote Tobacco Road, some of those really sleazy Southern novels about Southern life. Great Italian of Jewish heritage, Primo Levi, who survived the concentration camps. Among the events today, these people are named after a college in Virginia. In 1689, William and Mary became joint rulers of England, and that ended Stuart. Well, I think Mary was a Stuart, but they were Protestants. William and Mary. William, I think, was William of Nassau or William of Orange, the Dutchman who defeated the Catholics at the Battle of the Boyne, and that was part of the conflict that raged in Ireland for centuries. This is the first exile of Napoleon. They didn't kill rulers in those days or generals. Napoleon was exiled to Elba, the island of Elba. He escaped and fought 100 days. Lasted another 100 days in France, was defeated at the Battle of Waterloo, and they decided this time we can't kill him, but we'll send him will exile him to an island so far away that he'll never escape, and that was St. Helena. If you ever get to Paris, you must go to the Chapel of the Invalids. The Invalids is kind of like the French Pentagon. Beautiful chapel of all of some of the great generals of France, Foch, Delattre, and Napoleon's son, the Prince of Rome. And then Napoleon's tomb is in the center of this chapel. It's very beautiful. Highly recommend it. On this day in 1898, Spanish-American War, William McKinley, the president, wanted a declaration of war. He got it. A year later, after Spain was defeated in South America, Spain ceded Puerto Rico to the United States. And, of course, Leonard Bernstein wrote that famous song about Puerto Rico in his Broadway show, West Side Story. In 1900, the first U.S. submarine made its debut. 1906, Einstein's theory of relativity came up with that. Would you believe this? Everybody thinks Babe Ruth only played for the Yankees. In his early career, he was a pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, and he defeated the Yankees. Maybe they saw a good thing and decided we'll hire him. And, of course, he used to eat all those hot dogs. He died of cancer. Then in 1941, back to World War II, Germany bombed Coventry and destroyed that cathedral. Now, the British had acquired the German cryptography machine called the Enigma. They could read all the German codes that were going out, and messages were going out to the German Air Force, German diplomats, German Army, the submarines, and they knew that Coventry was going to be bombed, but they couldn't do anything because that would disclose the fact that the British had acquired the Enigma machine, and Germans then would have to change all their codes. And so the British decided to keep quiet, and Coventry was nearly destroyed, and it's one of the controversial episodes in Winston Churchill's prime ministership. This is interesting. Jewish assets in Holland were seized. Now, we're getting our Amicus Veritas YouTube e-magazine episodes on a little history of bicycling, which is becoming increasingly controversial because bicyclists, at least here in the United States, don't have insurance in many jurisdictions. They don't have aren't required to have register and have a license plate on their vehicle. They don't pay any taxes. It's become a leisure class, and they're killing people. We've had two deaths within the last couple of months. Bicyclists running down senior citizens in the crosswalk of the streets, and there are all kinds of accidents. Arrogance. They get mad at people. They break the mirrors off of cars. It used to be that bicyclists were the people who were drug dealers and went around at night because the cops couldn't catch them in the cop car. But now it's become a political movement, and would you believe this, that this bicycle agenda started in the Nazi occupation of Europe during World War II, and we will document some of this, and also what happened when the French were defeated in World War II, when the Nazis marched into France. For one of the first things that the Gestapo did was to cancel all the licenses of the Jews and to seize, they wouldn't allow them to drive. And they, so people had to use bicycles. And one of the first bicycle lanes was set up by order of the Gestapo in Holland. This is where the bike lanes originated. So we'll demonstrate that or illustrate that in our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, which is we'll be adding those this week, AmiCusVeritas YouTube. Also, on this date, Prince Rainier in 1950 became the ruler of Monaco, and when he went to Hollywood, he saw Grace Kelly, he proposed, and they were married in the Cathedral of Monaco, and Prince Rainier recently died, and then Princess Grace was killed in a car accident, believed to be driven by one of her daughters. On this day in 1951, Harry Truman fired General MacArthur because General MacArthur was encouraging, trying to get the president to order the troops, the UN troops across the Yalu border, and that Harry Truman didn't want to incite World War III or to use the atomic bomb. So he fired MacArthur. They had a meeting at Wake Island. It didn't work out. And so Truman would not put up what he saw was MacArthur's insubordination, and he used his executive authority to fire MacArthur. MacArthur came back, and we do have his farewell to Congress, which we played recently. On this day, this is very important for anybody who has relatives that survived the European Holocaust, whether they were of Jewish ancestry, Jewish heritage, or Gentile or Gypsy, whatever. The Eichmann trial started in 1961 in Argentina, and it has a relevance to what's gone on here in San Francisco with Juan Pifferé, who was his family was connected to a bank which is believed to have held or may still hold stolen assets of Europeans, especially Jews, that were transported illegally from Nazi Germany at the end of World War II and deposited in Argentina and other banks around the world. And Juan Pifferé's brothers sit on this bank, and we'll get into that on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site with the documentations. We've got copies of checks. In 1968, LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, the president, signed the Civil Rights Act. Now, his another Johnson, Andrew Johnson, vetoed one in 1868, I think it was. And then, let's see. In 1992, the IRA bombed a London bank and killed three people. We found our Paul Robeson. It was his birthday this week, and he had a great voice. He's probably the most talented black American in recent American history, at least in this century. An actor, a football player, great athlete. He was a lawyer. Studied law, was at Columbia University. He was a social activist, and he was a great Shakespearean activist. Problem is, he was duped or was used as a dupe by the communists. But here he is talking about Shakespeare. He had this great voice.
Shakespeare, the genius that he was, seemed to foreshadow and understand many of the problems that have since arisen in our world, perhaps were present then. First, I would say that here is a part which has dignity for the Negro actor. Often we don't get those opportunities. And I would say that my people will be very proud of my or any other Negro actor appearing in such a part. I think also that to me, Othello is one of a different culture. Shakespeare insists that he's African. Some argue whether he's the word black and the fact that he's from Africa is very clear to me. Mm. And that Shakespeare posed this problem of a, say, black man in a white system over from America, and we like to say pass and chance and do for the morning dew. And I happen to pick up an old script of Shakespeare, and the dew was very clear. It was D-I-E-W, and it was not chance, C-H-A-U-N-C-E, so it was dew, like in lieu of, and chance and dance. Very, very Shakespearean. And one terrible, difficult sound was my almost at the beginning of the play, my services, which I have done the scenery, my services, services. I would say my services. I had to work on that very. But later, I took some special work at the University of London, and also in my university days, I majored in English, and I have records from the earliest time, from time of Anglo-Saxons, matter of fact, through Chaucer. And of course, since I worked on my songs with Roger Quilter, and I would have to use the role, I couldn't walk out here and say, drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge with mine. It's got to be very, drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge with mine.
Paul Robeson was born in Princeton, New Jersey, and that was a magnificent voice, and also in some great films that he starred in, even played in a Welsh mining film. On this day, we're all commemorating, not celebrating, but commemorating the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic when it ran into that iceberg. An interesting little history, full circle. The radio operator on the Titanic was a young man, about 25 years old, named John or Jack Phillips. And he was really the hero of this. He kept he drowned on Titanic when it went down. He stayed at his post, typing out, come quickly, we're sinking, we've struck an iceberg. He sent the, kept tapping this out until the power went out on the Titanic, and he went down with it along with the band, which is playing Near My God to Thee, and of course the captain of the ship and many others. The connection to Trevor Hodges, who was who served in the British Army at both the Battle of the Somme and Gallipoli, when and this is Anzac month also, when Trevor Hodges was evacuated from Gallipoli, the hospital ship was called the Britannic, and the Britannic was the sister ship of the Titanic. There were three ships. I forgot the other one. I think the Olympic and the White Star Line. But that's the connection to Trevor Hodges and the Britannic. And, of course, Trevor Hodges was English. And, again, we've been asked to play this again. Here's since this is not did not come up in the film War Horse because it didn't have this, but this is accurate. Trevor Hodges was at the Battle of the Somme, and here he is in a brief expert from the interview I did with him.
Trevor, when you were in France on the Somme in World War I, did anything happen with animals that you can recall?
Yes, a very dreadful thing. Whether it was in 16 or early 17, I don't know. But my little unit, smoke unit, was out of the trenches resting. And I was awakened before dawn by a clickety-clank sound. And I looked out of my tent, and there was cavalry going up towards the front line. Well, they got slaughtered. They got through the first lot of barbed wire, which had been pretty well blasted by the artillery. But the artillery hadn't done enough job on the second load, and they got all tangled up, and those beautiful horses were slaughtered right and left. Thank God I didn't actually see it. But all I know is that for 2 months after that, the whole British Army ate horse meat.
I guess that beats bully beef.
I'm not so sure.
So we did about an hour and a half interview with Trevor before he died. As again, he emigrated to the United States after World War I. There was a depression in England. I went to work for Chrysler. I think it was the vice president. And then when on the eve of World War II, in 1940, Roosevelt knew we were going to go into war. Even though he said he was against war and all that, and this is very controversial, there were about 10,000 British officers, ex-British officers, living in the United States, and they were requested to come and train the new American Army, which was going to go to Europe and fight there and also in the Pacific. And he became a colonel in the U.S. Army. This is remarkable. He was a captain, lieutenant and a captain in the British Army. And he was a colonel in the U.S. Army, and he was served up here in Northern California in charge of a WAC detachment. And it's a fascinating story, which I will get into another day. But this is a rarity. He only did one interview in his entire life. And the Australian consulate, after I came back from Australia when I was a correspondent, informed me that Trevor was living down in South Bay, which would be San Jose. So I went down and spent the day with him. Unfortunately, we didn't have live video at the time, but we do have a lot of photos, and I'm putting together a Gallipoli piece with photos that were taken over there, which were given to me to use as I see fit for the Carson Verzola archives. So we'll have that and more of rare interviews with a lot of people. I got about 1,500 of them, plus the interviews I did for streaming broadcasting. We will now, we'll be back Friday. The bicycle one thing. This is a public policy question. A lot of people concerned because bicyclists are just this leisure class has been running people down in the street. Some jurisdictions do require bicycles to register bicyclists and to register their bicycles to pay a registration fee, but nobody requires liability insurance. And this is something the insurance industry should be looking at. There's money to be made here, and it's something they can do, something that's socially useful, make money, and at the same time protect people and insure the bicyclists who do have these accidents. But it's become a special rights, privileges, and exemption thing with younger people who think that they have special rights, privileges, and exemptions. They don't contribute to the economy, but they are consumers. They have a lot of disposable income for their cappuccino, their fine wine, Chardonnay. Some of them are into drugs like cocaine, and that's why they have some of these accidents. So we think, and a growing number of people say, it's time to force these people to have registration, to pay it yearly, to acquire when the insurance companies come up with this liability insurance. Incidentally, if you have homeowners, your bicycle may be covered, so you should check with your insurance agent, those of you who have homeowners or apartment insurance. But it's time to start cracking down on these people and to make them responsible, because it's the only way that we're going to cut down on the number of accidents. And there are also motorists who use their vehicles as weapons and try to scare, terrorize, or intimidate bicyclists. That's wrong, too. So it's time to rein in this bicycle anarchy on the street, and we require motorcyclists and motor vehicle drivers to be responsible when they put their wheels on the road. We should require that also of bicyclists. So we'll end with
90 seconds.
Our usual politics and poker, and of course we'll get into Santorum and one of the reasons why he may have suddenly decided to drop out.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going
to
do?
I'm in.
So am I. Five,
five. Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impulse.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Well, we'll be back Friday. This is Peter Paul Brazola, and we'll try to get everything started a little earlier. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas. Good night.